numbers. We have assisting me in the Opani department, one of my regulars for this time of the day and this time of the week, Mark Levine, former congressional attorney and Washington, D.C. radio host on Pacifica Radio's WPFW. He's also a host of Tell Us What It Is.
But the Inside Scoop.
There we are. Thank you. I just wanted to hear your voice say it. The Inside Scoop. You can also
and
find out more about Mark.
The Marshall Show tonight, too, if people want to tune in.
Leslie Marshall's.
Tonight.
Good. And also check out more about Mark on marklevineradio.com. How you doing today, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good, despite the bad economic news.
I know. Now, we're talking about the deficit dropping. Might be something we screw up, as I just referenced. Also, Texas created over one-third of the nation's jobs since July of 2010, but Democrats deny credit to its governor and presidential candidate, Rick Perry. Why is that? Also, why did President Obama violate both the Constitution and federal law on the issue of illegal immigration? We're going to try to cover as much of that as we can with our good buddy here. But first, on the issue of illegal immigration, let me get into that, because I was just chatting with John Ransom of townhall.com
okay.
about that. Now, I'm sure we haven't gotten into this as much as we wanted to, but just to put everybody on the same page, you might recall the president last week made some very serious news on the issue of illegal immigration, essentially deciding, in my estimation, to break both Constitution and federal law. The administration announced that it was granting officials the discretion to suspend nonviolent deportation cases in favor of those that are violent. Is that a good idea, and why?
Well, first of all, I don't know where you get the idea that's against the law or against the Constitution. Prosecutors have discretion in virtually every criminal and civil act we have. We have prosecutors that decide, I'm not going to go through to this minor burglary case so we can focus on the murder case. And President Obama has decided I'm not going to focus on nonviolent people who are working hard and trying to make a living and focus on the violent people. Because let's face it, Congress won't approve enough Bush appointees to be judges. There's a shortage in the system, and I'd rather get the gang members, the criminals, out of the way before we focus on Jose the Gardener and Rosa the Maid.
Yeah, but that assumes false choices that don't have to be made. I mean, the goal of prioritizing the deportation of illegals, when you think about it, it's a perfect formula for justifying a false choice between which lawbreakers should be subjected to the law. I mean, think about it, my friend. By that measure, any form of illegal behavior could escape accountability simply by having it compared to other more serious violations.
It happens all the time, Alan.
But not systematically, with entire demographic. That would be a violation of the 14th Amendment. It's one thing to say prosecutorial discretion can be applied. It's another to say from Mount High out of the president's office that we're going to have a demonstrative shift in policy from the executive because he couldn't get it passed through the legislature. The guy's violating his separated powers.
What do you think an executive does? He executes the law. When Congress gives him an impossible task, namely to deport every single person and to prosecute every
single
person under the law.
But that's a false question.
Do you know how
many people? Let me ask you something. Do you know how many people you have to deport before you can seal up the border? Guess how many illegal immigrants you have to deport before you can seal up the border? None! None, so that's a false assertion.
This isn't about sealing up the border.
Whenever you talk about sealing up the border, people always say, well, what do you want to do, get rid of 12 million people? I mean, it's a silly thing.
Alan, this isn't about sealing up the border. All it's about is the president saying, I want to prioritize the criminals and gang members because right now we have a swollen system. It can take years to get someone deported. We don't have enough immigration judges. Congress won't appoint them because Republicans won't allow President Obama to get his judges in. In fact, President Obama has the lowest appointment rate of any president of the United States since World War II because Republicans are playing politics with it. Since there aren't enough judges and there's swollen cases and it can take years to deport someone, it seems to me we should focus on deporting the gang members and violent felons first and focus on the
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Our government does not get to make a solution contingent upon that which only they can provide but won't, and thereafter blame somebody else for the absence of that solution. That's a maneuvered self-fulfilling prophecy with a catch-22 ending. The fact that it happens all the time could be the perfect excuse for letting anything and everything happen with impunity in perpetuity. Why? Because it happens all the time. Those are floating standards. If you don't have points of finality attached to a standard, it ceases to be one. Oh, come on. Let's look at what's going on right now. Let's look exactly what's going on right now with Arizona's immigration law. This is a law that simply mirrors already existing federal law. And guess what happens? We're still permitting cities like Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Chicago, and New York to declare themselves sanctuary cities. So here we are beating up on Arizona for coming up with a law that merely mirrors federal law, but we're going to go ahead and turn a blind eye to Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, and New York when they declare themselves sanctuary cities, even though by doing so, they are in direct violation of both the Constitution and U.S. Code Title 8, Chapter 12, Subchapter 2, Part 3, Section 1324, where it says in summary that if you're caught luring illegal immigrants into the United States, offer them safe harbor, safe travel, hire them, or conceal them in any way, you can be fined thousands of dollars and face jail time. I was just talking about this earlier. Think about it. If the government can go after Arizona for merely mirroring federal law, then it's got to be able to go after these sanctuary cities for blatantly violating federal law. The government cannot, through its own stupid incompetence, trigger the very action it criticizes and still be taken seriously. You don't see an unevenness in the application of these laws?
Alan, the reason that the federal courts declared the Arizona law unconstitutional is because, as you know, the Constitution prescribes a single federal standard for immigration. Arizona can't say, we're going to accept some people as citizens and naturalization and deportation, and New Mexico has a different standard, and Vermont has a different standard. They'll be running from state to state. That's why our founders said a single federal standard for immigration. The courts decided
that. Let's say for argument's sake, you're correct. I'm going to leave it with that. I'm going to say for argument's sake, you're correct on that issue. That would not, by extension, then permit the federal government to make an uneven application of compliance where the Constitution and federal law is concerned when it comes to sanctuary cities. Your reference to the former does not excuse the latter.
No, listen, the United States government should uniformly enforce the law as much as possible.
Then you agree with me that these sanctuary cities are wrong.
I agree that to the extent that cities are trying to set a different standard from the federal standard, that's as unconstitutional as Arizona trying to set a different standard.
Thank you. Well, then you are an intellectually honest person. You have learned that it is silly to defend the indefensible, and I thank you for that. And I wish more wingers on both the left, and I wish more wingers on both the left and the right would get a clue when it comes to that particular expectation. If folks can't argue Socratically, point, counterpoint, counter to point, counterpoint, they are wasting my effing time. Stick with us. You are with Battleline, Main Street Radio Network. I'm Alan Nathan.
With all due respect to anybody that's out there, either directly or indirectly criticizing me, because I speak plainly, I call it like I see it. Look, I'm not an establishment figure, never have been, and frankly, I don't want to be. I dislike Washington. I think it's a seedy place. But our country is in trouble, and I don't have the privilege to sit on the sideline and watch our country be destroyed economically by a president who has been conducting an experiment on the American economy for the last 2.5 years. My wife told it like it was when she looked me in the eye and said, listen, you have to do your duty, and that's what I'm doing.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. I'm over yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left-right, black-white, two-dimensional approach. Hat tip to Laura Ingraham's show for this. You're listening to a quotation of Mr. Perry himself, the governor of the great state of Texas, essentially saying he doesn't think very much of Washington at all. It says our country is in trouble, and I don't have the privilege to sit on the sidelines and watch our country be destroyed economically by a president who has been conducting an experiment on the American economy for the last 2.5 years. Then he goes on to say his family, especially his wife, got behind him. I wish to God that Perry's wife spoke to Mitch Daniels' wife, because Mitch Daniels is the guy I'd really love to see in here. But my audience already knows that. We have a system in the opining, old friend of the show, Mark Levine, former congressional attorney and Washington, D.C. radio host on Pacifica Radio's WPFW. And, of course, the Inside Scoop is something of which he's also the host. He's also a former host of the international television show, The American Dream, one which yours truly also hosted for a while. And if you want to learn more about him, go to marklevineradio.com. Again, that's M-A-R-K-L-E-V-I-N-E radio.com. Mark, good to have you back, buddy.
Always good to be here.
What do you think about what Perry had to say? I mean, regardless of what you think of his politics, I mean, I think as a general reference to the sentiment that was the impetus behind his decision, it was okay. What say you?
I say I like Washington, D.C. He's attacking the nation's capital as a seedy place. What does that mean, a seedy place? Is he talking about the alleys? Is he talking about that it's half black? You know, I don't know. He's talking about a seedy place. If he's talking about the money.
And he's half black. Oh, stop it. You're going to make assertions of racism without. You are not going to walk into that door with me. This is Battle Line with Alan Nathan. You have got to be out of your mind if you're even going to touch that rail. You don't want to do it. And because I have such love for you, I'm going to allow you to gracefully extricate yourself from the aforementioned quandary that is otherwise so avoidable. I'm giving you a chance to back off that. You do want to do that, don't you, my friend? You don't want to get in the area of race with me.
I would ask him what he means by Washington is a seedy place. If he's talking about money and politics, it's his party that supports money and politics, right? They're the party that says that corporations can give unlimited donations and basically control our politics. So if he's not talking about money, what's he talking about? Crime?
He's talking about the break of faith that he's talking about the break of faith that has been exhibited by Washington vis-a-vis the people they purport to represent. That's what he's talking about. Now, you might not believe he's the right guy. Look, President Obama made many of the same references when he was a candidate. I'm not surprised to see anybody out there trying to talk about how bad Washington is and how it needs to be reformed. There's a lot wrong with Washington. The error isn't so much when people remonstrate the town. The error is when they arrive and wind up doing so much less than they had originally promised, but that's a replicated deficiency on the part of most politicians. Disproportionately hang any of them out to dry more so than the other. But let me get to Perry more specifically. Currently, there's a lot of angst expressed by the left over this guy. He's talking about his Texas miracle. They don't like it. Now, the Texas miracle basically consists of growing 1 million jobs just over the last 10 years compared to the nation losing 1.4 million jobs, as echoed by the Washington Post. Add to that the already well-publicized fact that Texas has generated over a third of the jobs created in the United States as a whole, and of course you're looking at an understandable target for Democrats. And I'm thinking to a degree it's going to be understandable that they are going to be perceived as having a point. The Dems are going to be seen as having a point because they're going to cite, as you are, I'm sure, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which reported that between December of 2007 and June of 2011, private sector jobs fell by 0.6%, while government jobs grew by 6.4%. But do you think that's really the whole story? And do you think Perry still has a lot about which he can be proud?
That isn't the part I thought you were going to cite. I thought you were going to cite the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which says that Texas is tied with Mississippi for the highest number of minimum wage and below minimum wage jobs in the country. I thought that was the Bureau of Labor Statistics thing that you were going to cite. Look, Texas has
is that the highest number or the highest percentage?
Highest percentage.
How is it possible, though, that when we look at the 10 years, we still have 1 million jobs grown versus 1.4 million lost nationwide? Isn't that still a record that he has intact?
No, because the population has grown dramatically. There's a lot of illegal immigrants coming from Mexico. In fact, interestingly, Texas's unemployment rate is in the middle of the nation's. It's higher than half the state to lower than half the state. How can their unemployment rate stay the same as the nation's with all these new jobs being created? Because all these new people came in. If millions of people cross the borders from Mexico to take low farm wage jobs, right, then you have an increase in numbers of people and you have an increase in number of jobs. It's a completely meaningless statistic. All he can say is Texas can stay even with our population.
Well, hold on. Your argument only works if we assume that all the new people arriving are illegal immigrants, and you know that's not true. As a matter of fact, that interestingly enough dovetails into a few other things. One inconsistency on the part of those criticizing Perry is how they leave out of their rationale a fact that they actually cite. Come to think of it, the Washington Post says that the only reason why Perry benefited from so many new U.S. government and state government jobs is because Texas is now the fastest growing state. Now, think about that.
Right.
Since the reason they are the fastest growing state is because folks are attracted to the greater opportunities courtesy of their low regulation, low tax, and business friendly accommodation, it would then seem that he can claim some credit after all. Yes?
I think he can credit the fact that Texas shares a border with Mexico. And that gives it advantage in getting illegal immigrants to come across the border and do below minimum wages that they can't get to Vermont as quickly. I mean, that's true. I accept that. He's making Texas like Mexico.
Vermont would never work out for your argument, though, because Vermont has unfortunately really capsized its economy. The largest employer in that state now is the state. It used to be IBM. So I wouldn't go too quickly to Vermont. I love the state of Vermont. It's beautiful, especially St. Albans and Plattsburgh area. That's New York. But
let's talk about California.
Burlington, absolutely gorgeous.
What? Has some of the lowest percentage of minimum wage and below minimum wage jobs in the country, and it also borders Mexico. So obviously there's a difference between California and Texas. The difference is in Texas, they let people, you know, pick vegetables and do very, very hard, backbreaking labor. And I'm not attacking the illegal immigrants that work that hard. They work extremely hard. They work for below minimum wage. They're very, very poor, and they get no social services. I think they work very hard. But if we're going to try to out-compete, I don't think we should out-compete China and India and Mexico by trying to become the best third world country ever. I think we should become a first world country and therefore focus on sophisticated jobs and not...
Well, that entire narrative is responding to a question never posed, opposing an argument never asserted. I really get very nervous when people take that peripheral observation and infer it as if it were a conclusive analysis, only to turn around and communicate it as such. We know for a fact that a huge cadre of companies have been leaving other states, moving to Texas, ticking off a lot of Democrats because of their style of lower regulation that is indeed appealing.
Race to the bottom. And there are people who think that American can become the best third world country ever. Why do you think corporations are going to...
No. Third world. Even Kennedy made it abundantly clear that when you lower tax rates, you increase tax revenues because you allow that many more businesses to hire that many more people who then turn around and spend that many more dollars in tax revenue.
That's a follow argument. My point is very simple. That, we're never going to be able to...
How is that not secular? It's part and parcel of what Rick Perry did in Texas. He made it very business friendly. Dramatically lower taxes, consecutively bounced 10 budgets in a row, something I'd like to see other state governors pull off. So these are things about which he can claim it has all the relevance to our earlier discussion when I bring up what Kennedy had to say, because that's one of the models that Perry has used. Keep taxes lower, keep the environment friendly to business. They're going to wind up generating more jobs. And aren't jobs really ultimately the best social program beyond all others?
No, because when you give someone a job at a dollar an hour or below minimum wage job, okay, that's...
Nobody's doing that, though. You're epitomizing apple-orange comparison. You're epitomizing apple... That's an illegitimate measure. The only legitimate measure in that judges relevant points in any discussion is the one born out of the original rub first exposing the conflict. So why bring up a $1.50 an hour job when a $1.50 an hour job has not the least infinitesimal correlative relevance to anything going on in anywhere in the country, let alone Texas?
Because Texas has the highest percentage of minimum wage, below minimum wage jobs in the country, tied with Mississippi. It's tied for first.
But is that a primary measure, or is a greater primary measure that jobs in general are growing? You will always find that any area that experiences any kind of genesis economically often will have a disproportionate amount of lower paying jobs, because those are the first signs of a resurging economy.
I disagree. I think it's better to have 10 good high-paying jobs than 15 jobs of people working near slave wages, because the 10 people with the good jobs will be able to spend money, and that will keep an economy growing, whereas the people working near slave wages will barely spend enough to feed themselves and their family, and they'll need federal aid to keep them alive.
If they were such slave wages, what's so counterintuitive with your argument is that if what you say were true, people would not be attracted to Texas in droves as they are. The only reason why they have such a phenomenally rapid growing economy as well as population is because the population that's attracted to Texas is for a reason, and that is because they find greater fiscal viability there than elsewhere. Otherwise, why would people not choose different proxemics?
Texas is better than Mexico, but not as good as the rest of the country.
God, one day you're going to have to pass that joint. Folks, stick with us. You're with Battleline, Main Street. I'm Alan Nathan.